station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition here on Max and Friends. Hey, listen, everybody, I want you to lift up your prayers tonight. Send some positive energy over to Ma Jaya Sati Bhagavati. Remember the guru we had on the show? Well, she's not feeling too well, so we just want to send her our prayers and our well wishes. And just everyone at Kashi.org, we're sending them our love, our light, and our respect. So, Ma Jaya, I'm rooting for you, baby. So check this out, everyone. I got to say hi to my girl, Brittany. How you doing, Brittany, down in Fort Lauderdale? And, of course, to my new friend, Officer Perez. How you doing? Well, check this out tonight, everyone. We're going to have a great show because we're going to go from parenting to politics. Isn't it just a Max and Friends kind of a show? I'm glad you're tuning in. How was your week? Tweet me, maxtucci.com/MaxTucci.com. That's my website, everyone. Of course, I'm my own entity. But my Twitter page is twitter.com/MaxTucci. Thank you very much. Also, everyone, do you know that we have a free app here? By now you should, because this week is the 4th year anniversary of LA Talk Radio. And this May will be my 4th year here on LA Talk Radio. So we're just progressing in the industry, and we want you to join us. Be part of our family. Be part of our team. Tweet us at LA Talk Radio and tell us what's on your mind. Also, I want you guys to go get the app. You know, you can go on the road with it. You can be at the gym with it. You can hear so many shows. Michael Jackson's nephew has a show coming out here on LA Talk Radio. So we want you to tune in. Plus, Sam, he's got a new co-host every morning. So check out his show. Get the app. It's free for your smartphone. You can plug in your headset and run with us. Plus, it's got an alarm clock on it. All right, I'm plugging it because I love it, because I love LA Talk Radio. And I love you all. It's one of my favorite things of 2011 was the LA Talk Radio app. Speaking of favorite things, I'm drinking my Arizona vapor water. I got to give a big shout out to Arizona because I was just at a great cause with them with Fashion Delivers in New York City. Flew home, landed, thanks to Delta.com. Got into my car, drove into the city, went to this fabulous event, and on my way home, got into a little situation. But I'm going to save that for another show because it is a story, and I want you all to hear it from me first before it's in the papers. So anyway, moving along. Do you think you guys know how to parent? You know, I always say in life there's no such thing as a bad kid, only a bad parent. I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if I'm wrong. That's my opinion. But we've got the one and only Dr. Phil is in the house tonight. Dr. Phil Dembo, he's the man. And he's going to give us some of his great tips on his new book, The Real Purpose of Parenting. Now, I got some wonderful tweets from you all asking questions and some wonderful emails. Y'all got some bad kids. That's all I have to say. Or are you just bad parents? Well, welcome, Dr. Phil, and find out. How you doing, Dr. Phil?
I'm doing great, Max. Thanks for having me on the show. And I read somewhere that you have a birthday coming up, don't you? Like, isn't your birthday on Valentine's Day?
My birthday is on Valentine's Day.
Well, happy birthday early. I just wanted to put that out there so your fans could understand that your birthday's coming up.
I received the happiness, and thank you so much. Yeah, we're going to have a great birthday show for me. Emily Proctor from CSI Miami's coming on. So it's going to be fun. But we were talking about, and she just actually had a baby. She has a little girl. And it's interesting because tonight we're going to talk about celebrity parenting. But before we dive into there, we're going to talk about your new book, The Real Purpose of Parenting. This is the book you wish your parents read. Tell us why, Dr. Phil.
Well, you know, a while ago, I've been parenting for the last 27 years. I have two children of my own, and Linda and I together have 5 kids. But I've also been counseling people for the last 30-some years in parenting and kids about dealing with their parents. And the truth is, it really inspired me that we're missing something here. We've been missing something for about 3 generations. And I think as the world has gotten more complicated, we have to take a look at what we're doing and why we're doing it. And I agree with you. There aren't bad kids. They're just bad parents. And there's a lot of well-meaning parents out there that are just quite missing the boat here, Max.
They are missing the boat. And let me tell you, Dr. Phil, the one thing that I've learned, I'm not a parent, but I have a niece, and I love her, my little Lily. She's been on the show before. And when she's with me, I always feel the one thing that kids really, really want in life is to be heard. They just want you to know that you hear them and that you see their point of view, because it is a point of view. Do you agree?
I absolutely agree. And, you know, for me, it goes beyond that. I think kids need a voice, not just in their life with their parents, but in the family environment itself. Because one of the things that's happening is that we're trying to raise our kids by an agenda of what we want them to look like rather than the truth of who they are. But if you can honor the truth of who your child is, and you can create an environment that's safe enough for them to grow up into having a voice, you're going to partner with them. But here's the really, really key point for our listeners, is that it's still based on how our children experience the world, not how we want them to experience the world.
Right. You know how many times, Dr. Phil, I see mothers, you know, and they're in the supermarket and their kid is touching something on the floor and the mother starts screaming at them, "You're going to get germs." And then the kid freaks out in life thinking that if they touch the floor, they're going to get germs. So we put our own fear into kids. It's really
Absolutely.
Sad.
Absolutely. Well, what I say is never react, always respond. When we react from our own emotions and our own agenda. But if we can respond, we can thoughtfully teach and guide our children based on the circumstances in front of us. So that parent in that situation, instead of screaming at their child, they need to think about the age of the kid and why the kid's doing it, and that it's pretty normal for the kid to be doing it. And maybe, just maybe, it's an opportunity to teach the child rather than scare the child.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the Bible gives us the teaching of the Ten Commandments. And your
Absolutely.
Fantastic new book, The Real Purpose of Parenting, gives us the Ten Parenting Commandments. Everybody, this is Life Class with Max and Dr. Phil right here on LA Talk Radio, and we want you to be better parents, and here are your 10 parenting commandments. So get your pen ready. Get your
here
pens
go.
Ready. Go to Amazon.com. Get the book, because the book is going to change your life in parenting. I promise you, everyone, there is help out there, and we're giving it to tonight, so you don't want to miss the boat, speaking of boats. The 10 Parenting Commandments from Dr. Phil's new book, The Real Purpose of Parenting. Speaking
number
point
one,
number one, tell us.
Thou shalt create a safe family culture for your child to experience their life. Number two, thou shalt create family rituals, because it's rituals that help develop identity for a child and the family. Number three, thou shalt embrace your child's truth without judgment. And number four, thou shalt embrace your child as they experience their own moment. Number five, thou shalt always respond and never react. And number six, thou shalt listen to your child's feelings of their own experience. Number seven, thou shalt parent to the feeling of your child's moment, not their thoughts or their decisions. Number eight, thou shalt embrace your child's failure as you embrace their success. Number nine, thou shalt embrace who they are, not who they should be. And the tenth commandment is thou shalt teach, guide, coach, and love your child through their own experience, not through yours.
Oh, I love that. Now, everyone, you remember the tablets and the Ten Commandments? Well, your tablet is your iPad, or of course the tablets you have. So we want you to get these 10 parenting commandments, because what they're going to do, everyone, is they're going to take your mindset, what you've already been programmed to believe, and give you some new insight on how to raise, not better kids, because your kids are already great. We're going to teach you how to be parents, right, Dr. Phil?
Absolutely, Max. Thank you for bringing this out there to the world, because I think it's really important. It doesn't matter if we're a parent or not a parent, because everybody out there is somebody's child. So we all feel what this is about. We all know what worked for us as a child and what didn't work for us. And the truth is, our children have to be full people, complete people. The kinds of guests you have on your show are the kinds of people that speak to really owning one's own truth, not living in judgment, not living in fear, and having the courage to become the best you can be. But our children are growing up with a tremendous amount of fear, and we have to find some fundamental guidelines to give them the full experience of their life.
Absolutely. Well, you know what's so important? Whitney Houston said it a long time ago that she believes the children are our future, that we need to teach them well and let them lead the way. Why aren't we teaching our kids the way? And why aren't we teaching them well?
Well, I think what's happening is we live in fear ourselves. Most of the parents that come into my office, it takes just about everything in them to get through a week. People listening in are going to shake their heads to this, but they get through the week, they get through the day, they get everybody to their tutors, to their coaches, to all the different things they got to do. They eat fast, they eat furious, and then they get everybody a bath, they get everybody through homework, they get them to bed, and their goal is to get to the weekend only to run around, do their chores so they can do it again. We're not living and experiencing our moments anymore as adults. And if we're not doing it, our kids are in an environment, they're just keeping up with us. So really it starts with each of us to commit to a family culture. That's why I love rituals, Max, because if you build in rituals to your life, you can organize around them. You may not be able to have a family dinner every night, but if you say, look, Tuesday nights and Sunday nights, we're always going to have a family dinner. So we're going to decline offers to go to coaching or to go to practice or to do other things. We are going to make that a priority. You know, if you ask everybody out there in the world, when do most Christians go to church? They would all say, Sunday. How do we know that? We know that because
it's the ritual.
It's the ritual. The Pope, you don't call the Pope and say, would you change church to Tuesday because I'm busy. So what you do is you organize your life if that's one of your priorities.
Right. Well, that's your commandment number two. Thou shalt create family rituals, because rituals help develop family. They help develop a great identity. And of course, we need to have this structure, I think, Dr. Phil. You know, it's interesting. I was at lunch today with a friend of mine, and there's a new rule that I'm implementing. It's the cell phone rule, because now kids at 10 years old have cell phones, which is a whole other topic. That's a whole other show, Dr. Phil. But what's interesting is that you go to dinner, and this is what you see. Mom is on her phone. Dad is on his phone. Child one, child two, child three are all on their phones. And they're not even talking. Everybody's texting, updating this and that. So the new rule that I'm putting out there, everyone, and Dr. Phil, I think you're going to love this. Everybody puts their cell phone on the center of the table. Obviously, if you have a kid that's 10 years old or 5 years old, this isn't going to work. But if you have older kids, 15, 16, ones that get good allowances, you put those cell phones on the table. The first person to touch their cell phone has to pay for dinner.
I love that.
And I was bringing this up today at lunch with a friend of mine. And what's interesting is the guy that was sitting next to me was like, oh, my God, I love that. I said, the cell phone world, the mobile world, this awful rat race that we're living has really made families dysfunctional. There's no more communication. Parents don't know. You know, those cell phones, kids, and if you have a kid that has a little bit of a delinquent, they're doing drug deals on their cell phone. They're sexting on their cell phone. Not because they don't know it's right, because I believe when you know better, you do better. It's just because that's the environment we're living in, isn't it, Dr. Phil?
Absolutely, Max. But the other piece that I think people have to understand, beyond the family and the experience of dinner and making sure that we're all looking at each other and talking to each other, understand why that's so important. Because if a child grows up where they are focused on their electronics and they're not attached to the moment of the experience that they're in, they learn to not feel the moment of the experience they're in. They become detached. They become more numb. Those Rucker kids from those students from Rutgers who played a practical joke on their friend who had been kissing his boyfriend in his dorm room, and it went on YouTube, and he committed suicide. Now, the thing about that people have to understand, they didn't intend for their friend to commit suicide, but he wasn't anywhere on their radar because their own agenda was more important to them, because kids are becoming more desensitized and numb because they're not fully developed. One of the things that help us get fully developed is when we put everything down and we experience a moment together where we listen and we connect and we hear feelings and thoughts, not just the feelings and thoughts from our children, but we also let our children hear our feelings and thoughts at these dinners as everybody has their cell phone in the middle of the table and resting there. It's a great idea because it creates a full experience.
Right. And absolutely. And the other thing I believe in is rituals. You know, there's that new show called Wife Swap, and they're doing the celebrity wife swap. And what was interesting is one celebrity mom always did dinner with her kids, and they had a great family network, dinner, 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 every night of the week. Well, right. The other mom, you know, she didn't have that dinner. The kids ate in their bedroom. The husband ate at his office. And you could see how the family was so detached from each other because they didn't have that ritual of dinner. I just love your 10 commandments of parenting, because I think what they're going to do is really set a lot of parents free from this bondage that they have of not knowing how to be a parent. Because when you know better, you do better. And so tonight, absolutely, everyone, we're teaching you with Dr. Phil how you can be a better parent. Now, here's the best part. Go to CoachingLifeStrategies.com, because not only is Dr. Phil a parenting expert, everyone, he's also a therapist and a life coach. So he can help you in many departments of your life and, of course, make you more productive in our society. Speaking of society, Dr. Phil, how can we raise kids to feel safe in this insane society that we live in?
Well, you know, I think it goes hand in hand with what we're talking about, is that, you know, we live in a very aggressive society, and we live in a society that permits the level of violence. When you think about what's going on with the Penn State situation and the Syracuse basketball coach situation, these are situations where, you know, there's accusations of sexual abuse and whatnot with these students and these coaches, but these are grown adults coming out now. So what we're finding is that this level of violence and unsafety has been going on for many, many generations. We just know more about it now. We have to teach our children. This is one of the critical pieces of having a voice, is that where were the parents when these kids were little? Did they try to say something to the parents and they weren't listening? They didn't believe them. You know, we want to make sure that there are rituals within the family that allow a child to say what they need to say without any judgment from the parent. It starts with that. It's a hard thing to do. You have to have a lot of courage. When my son sits down and tells me something he knows I'm not going to like or want to hear, but he knows it's safe enough to tell me, then we will deal with the truth without him feeling my judgment. That gives children courage, gives them courage to stand up to people who are trying to hurt them. It gives them courage when they're out there and they're meeting people who were supposed to be safe but aren't safe, and we know what's going on in their life. The other thing that parents need to do is do your due diligence. Just don't go on reputation alone. Yes, Mr. Sandusky came from Penn State, and people thought, my God, if my kid could get coached by a program like that, we are so lucky.
Right.
But it's not the glory that we need to look for. It's the safety we need to look for, because this kind of stuff is happening all over our country.
Say that one more time, because that's so important. Say that one more time. It's not the glory.
It's not the glory that we're looking for. It's the safety that we're looking for. We want our children to feel a complete experience, which means we want them to grow up safe, but we can't keep them in a bubble. We can't lock them away in a closet. We let them go out there and do these things, but know who they're with. make sure that when they come home, there's time to hear what's going on. If you notice mood changes in them after being out with different people, or if you notice that they're online with people that you've never heard of before, know about this, understand it. It's scary. You don't have to project your own fear onto them. You have to have courage today to parent children, and you have to have courage to be a child in today's world. And I think the two together means communication, communication, communication. Talk to your kids. It's an absolute wonderful family ritual. You can have it before dinner, after dinner, that you have a family meeting. And in this family meeting, everybody gets to talk about the schedule coming up, what's going on, and also about what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, the process of their experience of their life. If we have that, Max, we will have fully developed young people. And we don't have fully developed young people.
We don't. But you know what we do have, Dr. Phil, is we have a tweet from someone. And this someone's name is Julie. And Julie is slamming us right now. Here's the thing. We're not attacking you people. You can't take this personally. What we're doing is we're trying to help you become a better parent. So here's the deal. I apologize if we're offending you. I personally don't think we are. Dr. Phil, this is what we get when we do live radio.
Sure. What's her tweet, though? What is she trying? What does she
need
from us?
Well, the question is, no, she just thinks that we're slamming parents right now. So,
okay.
I apologize.
Well,
I don't feel
that. What I would say to Julie is, Julie, I'm sorry that you feel that way. We are not talking about every parent out there. And we are talking about, though, society out there. And what I think that if Julie is finding ways to reach her children, that's wonderful. But I think all of us that try hard are good parents. But good parents, too, need to get back to the basics of what parenting is about. It's about teaching and guiding and coaching and loving our children and honoring our children. And I think if we are honest, we all know people who are more interested in what college their kid gets to than what their kid's feeling. And
absolutely.
I do think that's a prevalent issue out there. So I do apologize if we're offending Julie.
No, you know what? This is what I think, Julie. I think the only reason why you feel offended by us is because we've stirred something inside of you that feels that you're not doing the proper parenting you should be doing. So go buy Dr. Phil's book, The 10 Parenting Commandments, and then write me an email at max@maxtucci.com, and I would love to discuss this with you. And maybe we'll have you on the show when Dr. Phil comes back, because he's going to be our parenting coach here. So speaking of parenting coaching, Dr. Phil, it comes with the territory, live radio. But, you know, I actually had an interesting email, because someone wrote me an email when we were doing the promos for the show, and they said that they have – the husband works – almost 70-hour work weeks. That's a lot of work.
Right.
That the mother also works, and that they have a nanny for their children.
Right.
And she wants to know why. I think it's a simple answer. Why her children are more – let me read it here because this is amazing. She wants to know why her children love the nanny more than they love – she feels – their mommy.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think, yes, the obvious answer is that the person who's spending that quality time with their child is the nanny and not the parent.
Yeah.
What I would say is that oftentimes parents have to be in a situation like that, economically, professionally, and there's a balance. And I think, again, if you're a busy, busy professional parent and you have a nanny for your children, one, it's important to be comfortable with that decision, because that's your decision you're making as a value, and not feel threatened by this person. Make sure that this person is somebody you feel safe with and trust. But understand that that person is going to be somebody who they're going to get very close to. But you need your own time. You may not be able to have as much time as the nanny, but what I would recommend is time where it's just you and your child or children, and you have that as a ritual. My father used to work many, many hours, day and night, but we always had Saturday morning together, he and I. And even though it wasn't as much as I may have wanted, I remember to this day, and I'm 54 years old, that was our time. So I'd recommend to all you busy parents, carve out that space.
Absolutely.
Even if somebody else is tending to your child most of the time.
Well, this is what I also have some advice to give people. We're in a mobile world right now. So if your husband is working 70-hour work weeks and he's going to Hong Kong, like you stated, it's simple. We have Skype, everybody. So you could set up a time with your husband and your nanny to put your child on Skype with their father, wherever he may be, or where you're with their mother, wherever she may be, and they can communicate. They can have a 5-minute Skype call. I think that's a wonderful way to let the child know, hey, I'm in this foreign country, or I'm over this part of America, but I'm thinking of you. So it's a very easy way to get your family values and your family communication together. Start using the wonders of technology. They're there for you. And they're free.
Right.
And they're free. So listen, speaking of parents and all these parents with these amazing jobs and 70-hour work weeks and all these other work weeks and flying all over the world, a lot of celebrities, Dr. Phil, get a lot of rap and a lot of crap about being parents. Now, we don't live in their shoes, so we really shouldn't judge, because I always say when you point one finger, three are pointing back. But being a celebrity in the limelight, they get trashed. So I want to talk tonight about celebrity parenting and the style you want and the ones you don't want. Now, before we get into this, Dr. Phil, it's interesting because when we were sent the speaking points, this is when Heidi Klum and Seal were still together.
Right.
So what a difference a week makes, because here we have Heidi Klum and Seal, the smiling couple, never seems to care about anything more than their family, their faces show, and the love that they have for one another. It's still true, though.
It is still true. And you know, and I think they're an example of what goes on. You know, we have over a 50% rate of divorce in this country, and so many of those families are families with children. This is a couple that have always been a model where they've been committed to their children, that they've protected their children from their own celebrity status, and they have not exploited their kids. And I suspect that in their divorce, the same will be true, that you're not going to see them disparagingly with each other out in public. You're not going to see them at war with one another, and you're not going to see them exploiting the kids. You can love your children and still be divorced. What I liked about Heidi and Seal in what they represented, at least for all of us looking in on their lives, because we really don't know, but what we see is we see some people who have had a lot of respect and have done a good job with protecting the privacy for their children, which I think for celebrity parents is a huge deal.
Right. No, I agree with you. And what's great is that, you know, even though the both of them, Seal is always on tour, Heidi doing Project Runway, they both had stressful, hectic career lives. So maybe that's somewhere in there that caused the divorce. But we'll find out. But speaking of celebrities, Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rossdale are two incredible people. Again, hectic schedules. She's a singer, a designer. He's a singer. They're on tour. But as rock stars, they experience this talent. But then they are able to go home and play with their kids. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think people who understand the truth of their life know the values that they have, know the values that they are committed to, and they protect them, that these are two people where their celebrity status and being in the tabloids is far less important to them than keeping a quote-unquote healthy, normal lifestyle for their children. So, yeah. You may go off and do your job. I may go off and do my job. Our listeners go off and do their job. And these two go off and do their job. They just happen to be rock stars. But then they come home. And that's
and
really a great thing. And their mom and dad.
Yeah.
Which,
well, you know,
then you're a rock star.
Absolutely. Well, you know what's interesting? Speaking of rock stars, you know, there's that bad boy image that's always out there. And Ben Affleck, you know, he kind of had that bad boy image for a while. He was running off, you know, with our girl Jennifer Lopez. But then he marries Jennifer Garner, changes his bad boy image and his lifestyle to become a family man. So explain that.
Well, I think he made his kids more important than himself. And, you know, Eddie Murphy did the same, where all of a sudden Eddie wasn't doing any more of the, you know, vulgar language, those concerts.
Right.
And he did family films. And Ben, I think, did the same thing, which is, you know, there's sometimes something more important than just us. And I think Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner got it right. And that is, it was time to settle down and it was time to make your child and a family culture a priority. I use that word a lot because the family culture has to be protected by the parents. And I think Absolutely. Ben's doing a great job.
Speaking of culture, you know, I heard this, and obviously we don't know if it's true until it comes from the horse's mouth, but Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I heard that for every child that Angelina Jolie adopts, she gets a nanny from that country that speaks the original language of that child. I just thought that was a cool little rumor that was out there, an expensive one, because they say she spends over $200,000 a year on nanny. But Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, I mean, the two of them together have a fortress of United Nations. So they express this, as you say, this humanitarian service to their kids, and they put their needs, you know, they put their kids' needs before others. So why do you think they do that?
Well, you know, I think love is the definition of the identity of their relationship. There's so much respect. You don't ever see them being disrespectful. They're always holding hands. They're always modeling a real couplehood. And they have brought, with their good fortune, these children into their lives. And for all those out there who understand what I'm talking about, when you adopt a child and you make that child your own, it takes a whole lot of respect to understand that that child, especially if they come from a different country, has an original culture about them, and these two are willing to honor that. They're so comfortable in the love that they have and the identity of their family that they don't expect their child to follow their agendas. Now, this may get other people mad at you, but for a long time, Americans wanted babies that looked like them so that they could feel like they were biological children to them. Today, adoption's a lot different, where, you know, you can adopt kids who need homes, bring them in. They don't have to look like you. They don't have to have your same skin color, but you can't pretend that they're yours biologically. And the best thing you can do for your child is to honor the truth of who they are. And that's what they're doing here. When you get a nanny that speaks the native language of the baby you just adopted, you're honoring the truth of who that child is.
Absolutely. Well, these are the parents that we want you to be like. And we want you to get the book, The 10 Parenting Commandments. You can go right now, everyone, on Amazon.com because it's there. And I want you also to go to Dr. Phil's page, which is CoachingLifeStrategies.com. We're going to talk to you right now about, hey, before we do that, Ronan, what's everyone listening to? I just have to catch my breath. This is LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We got Dr. Phil, the author of the 10 Parenting Commandments. Now, these are some celebrity parents that we don't want you to be anything like. I'm going to start. It's not on this list, Dr. Phil, but I'm going to start with Tom Cruise and his wife, just because I think that the way they display their little daughter, Suri, they put her in high heels, they put her in short skirts. They're making her like that show, Toddlers and Tiaras. And that's one thing I can't stand. Do you agree?
I do agree, and I think that's what we were talking about earlier, about celebrity parents who exploit their children, and that's a really nice example. She looks just like Katie, and people love to take this little girl's picture, and they have her dolled up all the time.
I think it's disgusting. But what I also think is disgusting, speaking of exploiting, and we could throw the word pimping in there too, is Bruce and Kris Jenner. And of course, the Kardashians.
Right.
Dr. Phil.
You know, this is probably the grossest example of exploiting your children, both the positive successes of who they are and the ugliness and all the warts. And they have made this into an art form. People love it. I understand it. But it is really, really, really unhealthy parenting.
No, it's disgusting parenting, because what it's doing is it's literally pimping and exploiting their kids, and they're benefiting millions and millions and millions. Money is a mood changer, because if they weren't getting paid, Dr. Phil, you know they wouldn't be doing this.
But, no, that's absolutely right.
Not only is money a mood changer, drugs are also a mood changer. And one woman that we all know who's famous and infamous for her drug use is Courtney Love.
Courtney Love is, you know, she's an addict, and she is a really unfortunate example for her children, and it's really quite a shame. But she is very much alike many, many people out there who are celebrities. But yes, she is one of those people we do not want our listeners to model after as a parent.
Right. And if your reps are listening, email me, max@maxstucci.com. I would love to take that email. Now, also, you know, it's interesting. She's not on our list, but this is a tragic story about another addict, which was Anna Nicole Smith. And then her son also died. So
right.
I see a little bit of, you know, a family resemblance there between mother and son. Why do you think these parents, Dr. Phil, I mean, we can't get into this tonight. I'm going to have you back because we're having a good topic here. But why do celebrity parents, forgetting celebrity parents, why do parents choose to be addicts over being parents?
Well, you know, it's a controversial question in that people are in one camp would say that you don't choose to be an addict. It's an addiction. It's a disease process that happens. What I would say is that people choose to make their life their agenda over their children, and their children become secondary to them. Not everybody, and I know people are going to be in an uproar. That's not, we're talking about a select group of people. When you make your children's lives and protect their lives so that they can grow up in a very healthy environment, you are balancing your life as an adult, your life as a professional, with their life and what they need from you. When you make you more important than them, and that's what an addict does with everybody, they make themselves more important than the people around them, then your children are going to lose out to whatever addiction you have and whatever agenda you have.
Well, unfortunately, the one thing that we have is no more time, Dr. Phil, because I'm becoming an addict of you and CoachingLifeStrategies.com. The book, everyone, The Real Purpose of Parenting, the book you wish your parents read, available at Amazon.com. Get it. It will change your parenting life. The 10 parenting commandments are what you all need. Digest them, own them, love them. And the quote of the night from Dr. Phil, I love this, honor the truth of who your child is. It's going to change your world. And everyone, Dr. Phil, I thank you so much for being here. Will you join us again?
Absolutely, Max. I had a great time, and I'd love to be back. Thank you.
Wonderful. You're going to come back because we're getting some good responses. And every time, Dr. Phil, I get a person heated, I love it. It means we're changing their world.
Beautiful. Thank you, sir.
Have a wonderful night.
You too, and happy birthday in a couple of weeks.
Thank you so much. Happy parenting.
All righty. Bye-bye now.
All right. Good night, Dr. Phil. You see, everyone, this was Life Class with Dr. Phil and Max. Dr. Phil's last name, by the way, is spelled D-E-M-B-O. Thank you for that tweet. We got it. So, Dr. Phil Dembo, thank you so much for being here. Well, everyone, let's take a one-way ticket with Eric Jaffe, because when we get back from our one-way ticket, we're going to have politics with Hunter Cross and the one and only Felonious Monk. Stay tuned to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. One-Way Ticket by Eric Jaffe.
Tokyo, whoa. she bought a one-way ticket to San Francisco. Whoa. She packed a bag to leave him, 'cause staying would deceive him. Oh, no.
This is Max and Friends, and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Max Tucci, and you're listening to LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends, because it's Sunday night, everyone. Hey, I got a quick question, though, for Ron Paul. Hey, Ron Paul, do you listen to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio?
I do.
I thought you did. I love you, man. You're groovy. But let me talk about something else that's pretty groovy. We got Hunter Cross and, of course, Stop It B, Felonious Monk here tonight. How you guys doing?
Great. How you doing, Max?
Yeah, I'm doing well. How you doing, Felonious?
I'm wonderful.
Dudes, it's been a while, and there's been so much shit in the political world. I feel like we just let everybody down. But, you know, we're going to pick them back up tonight. Speaking of picking people back up, Obama tore it up. Tell him why, Ronan.
Hello, New York!
Hey!
And then to know that Reverend Al Green was here. I'm so in love with you. Those guys didn't think I would do it.
He's so got Hunter, balls.
Hunter, he's got balls. What do you think, Felonious?
I think it's great. It's an awesome song. Anybody who doesn't like that song that has some way to politicize that is just full of shit. It's a great song. And I'm
Let
sure
it's
not
you.
The first time he sang it.
No, this is what I think. I think he needs to hang up the towel, throw it away, do whatever you got to do, call it a day, leave the keys at the White House, and go start a singing career, because he's got a good voice.
A lot less pressure.
A lot less pressure.
Well, I was impressed. I didn't know he could sing.
He did more than carry a tune on that one.
And he smoked too. Remember, he used to smoke. So,
yep.
Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe that helped his voice. I'm not saying to smoke, everyone. Hey, how you doing? But check it out, Obama. Go on American Idol. I want to see that. He should be a judge over there. Speaking of American Idol, we can't really talk about it tonight, but it does have to do with America. Our boy, what happened, Hunter?
Who, Mr. Gingrich?
No, on American Idol. We're not. I know that these rallies seem like reality shows, but Steven Tyler totally did his thing with the American National Anthem.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, he's a rock star, and that's what rock stars do. They put their own spin on things. Right. No big deal. I mean, people make
speaking
a big deal.
Speaking of spins, we're talking about politics and everyone. We went from parenting with Dr. Phil to politics with Felonious Monk and Hunter Cross. Here we are. There is a spin, and I actually like the spin, Hunter and Felonious. So check this out. In 1980s, I don't know what year exactly, but Newt Gingrich had something to say to Tom Brokaw. All right. So check this out, because Mitt Romney, instead of making a new ad, he took I think this is a cool spin. He did a flashback. Right, Hunter, why don't you tell us a little about set up the clip?
Well, basically, what all he did was he ran Tom Brokaw's news reporting of the downfall of Newt Gingrich. And in just a matter of a few minutes, he summed up Newt Gingrich's career in the House of Representatives when he had to resign in 97. And so Romney didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to comment on it. He just ran the damn thing. And NBC and Brokaw are all upset about it because, you know, they politicized it. But it's just a news clip. Then it sums it up.
You know what? We have it here, Felonious. So, Ronan, why don't you tell us the news clip we're talking about?
Good evening. Newt Gingrich, who came to power, after all, preaching a higher standard in American politics, a man who brought down another speaker on ethics accusations. Tonight, he has on his own record the judgment of his peers, Democrat and Republican alike, by an overwhelming vote. They found him guilty of ethics violations. They charged him a very large financial penalty, and they raised, several of them, raised serious questions about his future effectiveness.
I'm Mitt Romney, and I approve this message.
And I'm Max Tucci, and you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio, and this is Felonious Monk. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a slightly dishonest ad. Obviously, that news clip is accurate. But why I say it's slightly dishonest, you've got a certain amount of general population that's voting age now that were, you know, less than 10 years old at the time that ad ran. And they're not even aware that, you know, Nuke was eventually cleared, however that happened. But what I mean by intellectually dishonest, Romney has tried to play this I'm above the fray until he saw that that wasn't working. And now all of a sudden he's on attack mode while pretty much throughout his entire campaign, he said, you know, I'm not really going to do the dirty politics. He'll dabble in it a little. And now he's on the offensive. And that just proves to me that it's not about Romney versus Gingrich. It's about tactics. And I don't want a tactical president. I want a president who I know what he stands for, what he believes in. I mean, that's accurate. That happened.
That's for sure. What do you think, Hunter?
Well, I mean, obviously that's where we are in politics, where they feel that they have to start beating up on the other guy to make any headway in the polls. But I think the good news is that Romney at least is letting America see what Gingrich really is all about. Wow. Gingrich is amazing to me. When you hear Gingrich say things like, you know, I don't know why we have to be so mean to each other. Meanwhile, he's the meanest one of the pack. And then he talks about – he tries to compare himself to Ronald Reagan, which is blows my mind because Ronald Reagan, if nothing else, was at least worked with the other side. He and Tip O'Neill, the Speaker of the House, a Democrat, when Reagan was in office, they had a cordial relationship. They didn't agree with them each other, but they had a cordial working relationship. Newt Gingrich is the one who created an environment in Washington after Ronald Reagan where they were so divisive they couldn't even talk to each other. He's more like Richard Nixon, I think. If you have to compare him to another Republican, he's more like Richard Nixon with secret lists and attacks and enemies lists and all that kind of crap.
Well, listen, he says some crazy stuff. Hold up. He says some crazy stuff just as much as he says some brilliant stuff. And I got the clip that proves his crazy stuff. So, Ronan, hit the clip of Newt being crazy.
By the end of my second term. We will have the first permanent base on the moon, and it will be American.
It will be you're smoking some whack ass crack.
He panders to whoever he's talking to.
Now he's pandering to UFOs, Felonious. What the fuck?
Fuck out of here. Listen. First of all, when I first heard that, the first thought I had was, he must be in Florida. The second thought I had was, he must have brought his drugs from D.C. This is bullshit. I mean, we're in the midst of an economic crisis. If you can explain to me how putting 13,000 people on a colony on the moon somehow does anything for our economy, I'll applaud it. The second part to that is, fuck smoke and mirrors. I mean, do we need to feel good that bad? The whole country needs heroin. If that makes you feel good, then just go get high. Just go get high and don't let someone blow smoke up your ass, because then you don't even know what you're getting high off of. That's just more bullshit. He pandered to South Carolina. He's pandering to – don't pander. Make something happen. And he is a great idea guy, but none of his ideas can actually be implemented. And the scariest thing about Newt Gingrich to me is the Republicans hate him. So how in the hell is he going to run a government when your own party doesn't even agree with anything you're doing? He's not going to get Congress to do anything. He's, you know, I hate to quote Don Imus, but Don Imus called him a scary little weasel.
And well, first of all, there's nothing little about him, number one. Number two, you know what? This just reminds me of our buddy Herman Cain. Remember when Herman Cain had this wacky statement? Hit it, Ronan.
I'm ready for the gotcha questions, and they are already starting to come. And when they ask me who's the president of you, Becky,
and then we have Newt Gingrich saying this, hit it.
By the end of my second term, we will have the first permanent base on the moon, and it will be American.
Right. So, Ron Paul, do you think they're both fucking crazy?
I do.
Thank you. You guys, what the fuck is going on with the Republican Party with these whack jobs that they have?
You know, the biggest thing with Newt Gingrich that pisses me off about this pandering bit is that I wish that he actually believed in some of the things he said. Because the space program is one of the very few government investments that actually provides dividends ultimately, provides jobs, new technologies, right. It advances science, things like that. So obviously what he said was a completely kooky thing the other day. But I wish that he really believed that investing in the space program was something that he would actually pursue. Because when he's talking to the Tea Party folks, he says he's going to slash and burn this department and that, and we don't need to spend money on this, we don't need to spend money on that. You know, cut. But when he's talking to the people in Florida whose lives and livelihood depends on the space program, he's all about the space program. I wish he really was in favor of the space program, but he's just so full of shit.
I got to cut you off there. Speaking of cutting, Filonis, what do you want to say about that real quick?
I was just going to say real quickly, if this was a time when we didn't have internet and instant access to everything that the politicians say, then he may be okay. Unfortunately for him, immediately after he makes a speech, it's right there available. And we all know he's full of shit. Anyone who remembers the 80s or the 90s knows he's full of shit. So the scariest thing to me is that he's still a viable candidate, that he's still even near any of the other candidates as far as the polls are concerned. And that makes me wonder, what are the rest of us watching? If he's even
I love you really quick. But hold on real quick. Speaking of real quick, because I want to play this clip of Newt attacking Romney. Hit it, Ronan.
If a man's dishonest to obtain a job, he'll be dishonest on the job.
What kind of man would mislead, distort, and deceive just to win an election? This man would. Mitt Romney. Romney said he has always voted Republican when he had the opportunity. But in the 1992 Massachusetts primary, Romney had the chance to vote for George H.W. Bush or Pat Buchanan, but he voted for a liberal Democrat instead. Romney said his investments in Fannie and Freddie were in a blind trust, but as reported in the National Journal, Romney earned tens of thousands of dollars from investments not in a blind trust. Romney denied seeing a false ad his campaign used to attack Newt Gingrich, but Romney's own campaign paid for the ad, and Romney's own voice is on the ad approving its false content. If we can't trust what Mitt Romney says about his own record, how can we trust him on anything?
I'm Newt Gingrich, and I approve this message.
That is a phenomenal ad.
What do you think, Claudius?
I think if you take that same litmus test to all of the candidates, we don't vote at all because you can't trust any of those. So
you know what I love?
That's a great ad. But
I love how from the 90s, you know, Mitt Romney was making tens of thousands to the millions to the now he's making millions.
Right.
I love what a difference a decade makes, man. Holy shit. What do you have to think about that, Hunter?
I mean, it's really unbelievable. How can they expect a man with $250 million in assets to know what asset is where? I don't think
know where his ass is. His ass is sitting in one of his five multi-million-dollar homes.
It's so dumb. Like Gingrich is whatever. It's such an idiot.
The ad didn't really prove anything. The one thing that I think they said that was accurate was that he said he had voted Republican every time he had an opportunity to, and the opportunity to vote for George W. Bush and didn't. Okay, that's great. But the other two pieces to that, the one that he didn't see the ad that his campaign paid for and his voice was heard at the end. You know, anyone who does those ads, and there were people on, there've been people on the news all week talking about it. And they said, listen, most of the time the candidates are sent, they get a sound bite from the candidates and it's put at the end of these ads. The campaign pays for them. And most of the time they don't see all of the ads. They don't see the ads. So him saying that, didn't make me doubt that, you know, the Freddie Mac
ads,
and Fannie Mae.
I got to cut you guys off. Speaking of ads, I need advertisers, everybody, and I ain't too proud to beg. Whether I need it in the morning or the middle of the night, I ain't too proud to beg. If you want to be my advertiser, email me, max@maxsucci, so we can have this conversation run longer because we got to cut everybody off because it's time to go. But before we go, Hunter, thank you for being here. Felonious, you're the man. Don't go anywhere yet because I got to ask you a quick question. I got to thank Dr. Phil and, of course, Jackie Jordan from TV Guestpert for making that happen. Dr. Phil, you're the man. CBS News is coming up next. And, of course, the quote of the night, Honor the Truth of Who Your Child Is by Dr. Phil Dembo. Get his book, The 10 Parenting Commandments. That's in his book. The book is called The Real Purpose of Parenting. Before we wrap this up, and I know you're going to kill me, Ronan and Sam, thank you all for tuning in to Max and Friends. That was Eric Jaffe, by the way, one-way ticket. So why don't you go on iTunes and get that song? But, Felonious, I want to know your take, and it's got to be real quick. But what do you think, how do you think Newt Gingrich slams his girl? Because he is so fat, and she is so skinny.
Which one? Or the one that he's pretending he's married to, or the one that he sleeps with on the side?
His blonde shorty.
He lays down on his back and elevates his hips, I think, and pulls his stomach back, and she does all the work.
And what do you think, Hunter?
Yeah, I think that's about right.
You think that's right?
I think that's about right. I think she sits on it sideways.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's scary.
We gotta go.
Yeah, you know, I have to have that image in my head all night. Thanks, Hunter.
That's my favorite. Listen, you don't think that he gets her like doggy, he gets her up and then he slaps that skinny ass and her head goes through the wall?
Come on, man. I'm just seeing those jowls shake now and I'm sick. Thanks
anything
a lot.
Anything's possible. Anyone, anything and everything is possible. We got to wrap this up because I'm not going to have a show anymore. Love you all for listening. Stay tuned because CBS News is next and take life to the max. Good night, everyone. Hey, next Sunday, we've got the one and only Mark Anthony coming. He's going to talk to the other side with his new book called Never Letting Go. Stay tuned and take life to the max. Good night, guys.
Night.
Peace out.